Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everyone. It is now Wednesday, and it's time for Wednesday night Bible study. I am your host, Diane Adams, and it's always a privilege and an honor to come before God's people as we explore the Word of God together. Your being here on tonight is not an accident, because God is in control. I am so glad that you decided to take time out of your schedule and you called in so that we can explore the Word of God together. I pray that everything in your week went well, and I pray that the desires of your heart was fulfilled. We have to keep pressing on in the things of God, because God will always see us through. I want to let you know that the lesson tonight, the title of the lesson is, God Never Leaves His People in the Dark. God never leaves his people in the dark. You have to truly believe that, because that's what God said that he would do for us. He don't want us walking around wondering and not knowing and not understanding and not seeing. He does not leave his people in the dark. The scripture is coming from Revelation, the first chapter, the first through the 20th verse. And I pray that each and every one of you had time, you know, during the week with your busy schedule to read the posted scriptures for tonight, because you know Revelation is a book that has many question marks behind it. You know, it has been told many different ways, but I want you to just think about this. God would not have allowed a book to be in his Bible for you if you weren't able to understand it. You know, what sense would that make? You know, when I was a little girl, they used to be saying, if you read the book of Revelation, that you was going to go crazy. But tonight, we're going to be in the book of Revelation, the first chapter, the first through the 28th verse. And as always, we have to go to the throne of grace in prayer. It is now prayer time. Madison is not with me, but anyone who would like to pray, I ask that you press the one button on your phone. And when you press the one button on your phone, I'll open a mic and you'll be able to pray. Well, since the line is not lit, what I'm going to go ahead and do is I'm going to open up with prayer. Madison is on his play date, but he said that he will call in. But I don't see the number at this time. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go ahead and pray. And if his number comes in and he pressed the button, we'll let him pray at that time, because there's never too many prayers. Dear Heavenly Father, gracious God, the giver of every perfect gift, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, my Lord, my Savior, my Master, the King of Kings, and the Lord of Lords. God, I thank you because you're a lover of my soul. Dear Heavenly Father, I just want to take this time right now to say thank you. Thank you for your Son. I thank you for your Spirit. I thank you for your word, dear God. I thank you for life, and I thank you for living. I thank you for each person that calls into this Inspirational Wednesday night Bible study. Lord, I pray that you find favor in all of their lives. Heavenly Father, that you meet the needs that they are in need of. Provide the finances necessary for them to take care of themselves, dear God. Lord, I pray that you just continue to keep us together as a Bible study coming together on Wednesday night. If it's your will, dear God, Lord, I'm praying for the sick and the shut-in everywhere. Lord, I'm asking that you just guide us and protect us and show us the way. Lord, we need you. We can't make it without you. And because of you, all things are possible. Lord, this is my prayer for tonight. And I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. Lord, I pray that the Holy Ghost have his way, that the word of God will not return void, and that you will continue to bless us, to hold us, to keep us. In Jesus' name, amen, and thank God. Well, that's our prayer for tonight. And since some more callers have called in, I'm going to say the name of the record. I'm going to say the name of the lesson tonight and the scriptures that it's coming from. I'm going to play a song, and I'll come back, and we're going to explore the word of God together. Be prayerful and listen to what the song has to say. But the title of the lesson is God Never Leaves His People in the Dark. And it's coming from Revelation, the first chapter through the 20th verse. And the name of this song is Here I Am. Here I am. And the name of that record was Here I Am. You know, that song was letting us know that we should, you know, present ourselves as living sacrifices unto God, which is the author and the finisher of our faith. We put our faith in too many other things, and we take our time with every other thing, and we go here and we go there, and we forget about the things of God and what God wants us to do and how he wants us to have our body as a living sacrifice. I'm not talking about things that you do with the body like drinking and things, but make your whole life a sacrifice unto God. You know, in the Old Testament, they sacrificed animals and bulls, and in the New Testament, what we are, we become the sacrifice, the living sacrifice unto God. So as that record say, we have to present ourselves, and at some point in our lives, when the rubber meets the road, we have to say, and we usually say, Lord, here am I. Lord, here am I. But we have the caller on the line that was going to pray earlier. Madison, I told you, it was on a play date, but they say they would call in and pray, not only Madison, but the friend that he's having a play date with. Madison, you on the line, and Caden?
Hello?
Yes, is Caden and Madison there?
Yes, they are.
Well, Caden said he wanted to pray first, and Madison would pray second. So, Caden, are you there?
Yes.
So you can start praying.
Okay. Lord, please help everyone who's going through a stage right now and some people who have diseases, Lord. And, Lord, please help everybody in need, Lord. And Lord, we thank you for us to be able to wake up in the morning, and we thank you for even though that we sin, Jesus died on the cross for our sins, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Name Jesus, amen.
Thank you, Kate. And tell the people how old you are.
11.
And what's your full name?
Caden Ashton Albert.
And what grade you going to pass and go to?
6.
Thank you, Caden, for praying so much. And I'm asking each of the listeners to keep Caden in a prayer. You know, we talk about our youth being destroyed and X generation and a this and a that. But we have to encourage those who are trying, and we have to pray for our youth. And I'm asking that you pray for Caden, that God find favor upon his life and keep him and save him from all hurt, harm, and danger. Thank you, Caden. Madison, are you there?
Yes, ma'am.
You can pray.
God, thank you for letting me wake up this morning so I'm able to pray on this program, and that when I pray, it has a meaning in this world, and that people think about praying and just start praying so that God knows that other people are trying to be with him and helping God. And please let your angels watch over the people and let the people know that angels are watching over them, God. Thank you for having people tune into this Blog Talk Radio program just to hear about things about you and saying that my grandma is one of the best persons that they like to listen to for God. Thank you. In the name of Jesus, amen.
I just want to thank you, Madison, and most of you know of Madison, and you listen to him usually week after week. He's still not with me tonight. He's with it on his play date, so both of them decide that they will stop what they're doing and pray for the God, to pray to God. Pray for them young men, dear God. Pray for them people. Pray for the young men, please, people. And keep lifting everyone up. Thank you, Madison and Caden, for your wonderful prayers. Y'all be blessed.
You're welcome. Thank you.
And that's our prayer. We didn't have one tonight. We had three. Praise be to God. Again, I want to let you know that the title of the lesson is God Never Leave His People in the Dark. We're coming from Revelations, the first chapter, the first through the 20th verse. As always, I always give a background, and I'm going to give a background tonight on Revelation. I want you to know the book of Revelation is in the Bible, and it's the last book of the New Testament. Revelation means the unveiling of something previously unveiled. It is like opening up something that has been closed. You know, when I, like I said earlier, when I was young, they used to tell you if you read the book of Revelation, you'll go crazy, and people always say they can't read it and they can't understand it. But you got to realize God does not. Why would God put a book in the Bible for you never to understand? You see, the purpose is to reveal the full identity of Christ and give meaning, give warnings and hope and encouragement to the believers. You see, God never leaves his people in the dark. The word revelation means that which God now shows. The things that God decided to put in the book of Revelation was things he wanted to show at that appointed time. You know, everything ain't for us to understand, and some things in our understanding comes in season because of God's particular reason. So when you look at Revelation as the last book and you look at what God is saying, he's saying, this is all that I have to say because the Bible is God speaking to us. No person could have known these things unless God showed them. God gave this revelation to Jesus. Only God knows the future, and he gave his knowledge to his son. Because God is omnipotent, that means God is all-knowing, omniscient. This is the message that God gave to John. That message shows us that many things about Jesus, and we see more of his glory. When you get in the book of Revelation, God is letting you know that Jesus is my son. This is what Jesus did for you, and this is what he's going to continue to do for you, and this is what he's going to do for you when this life is over and we enter into eternity. We read about how he will defeat Satan and his evil plans, and it lets us know we have the victory. You know, the book of Revelation's got a lot of frightening things, you know, a lot of turmoil and a lot of destruction, and it speaks about things that's going to come to pass, but it also lets you know that if you accept Christ as your Savior, you have the victory. They say Christ will rule on earth and in heaven. The book tells us that. But the main purpose is to show us that the things that must happen soon. The book of Revelation speaks about what has happened already. The book of Revelation speaks about what is happening right now. Now, just imagine how long ago that book was written, and you could go to some scriptures, and you could point to things that is happening right now. And it also tells us what is yet to come. You see, John is the writer and the one who penned the book of Revelation. But he only wrote what he was told to write. You see, God gave the message to Jesus, and Jesus gave the message to his personal angel, who in turn gave to John to write. That is why I say John penned, wrote the book. It was John indeed who wrote the book, but the author is Jesus. You know, the book of Revelation is a book about Jesus, by Jesus. Come on now, y'all. Because John only wrote what he was told and what he saw. You see, John was giving you a little bit about the person now. John was banished to the Isle of Patmos off the eastern coast of Asia. You know, John, because of his boldness in speaking about Christ, He loved God more than he feared punishment from the authority. John was in Asia, in the coast of Asia, preaching the word of God that the authorities there, you know, because of the popularity that Jesus was getting, they wanted to get rid of him. They take him, put him on an island. You see? So he was all alone with no other believers to share with. John had been left on that island to die. The authorities assumed that there was nothing else that he can do to uplift the name of Jesus. But how wrong they were. You see, what they set out for his bad, God turned it around for his good, for John's good, because John got to pen the book of Revelation that still is speaking volume towards him as the writer. More volume even before when he walked the face of the earth. But you see, God did it for his glory. You know, sometime in our lives, things be going on and we say, wow, you know, when John got put, it was almost like a prison. It wasn't a prison because it was an island. When John was placed there, if he wanted to wallow in his pity party, or he wanted to say, why me? He wanted to say, I ain't did nothing that bad. You know, if he could have said all of that. But you don't understand the hand of God that is on you, that's putting you in different places, situation, and before certain people, and all of that. God's master plan is more than you could ever comprehend. And you might not understand it now, but you'll understand it by and by. And if you walking and talking and holding on to God and holding on to the confession of your faith, he say he'll never leave you. And some of the things that he orchestrated in his life, in your life, is just like this for your good and his glory. To truly understand his book, we must look at the symbols used. There's a lot of symbols and figures. If you could understand that, you could understand what they're talking about. You see, Revelation can be easily understood with the aid of the Holy Spirit, but you got to ask him. You got to pick up that Bible and you get ready to read, Holy Ghost, be with me, tell me, show me, if you really want to know. You must ask him to reveal to you the symbols within. Jesus is using this book to reiterate God's master plan before the foundation of the world, all the way through eternity. And I have news for you tonight. There's not many things in the book of Revelation that has not already been said, that's not already somewhere in another book in the Bible. There's, you know, the prophecy had went forth of the things to come. You know, there's a lot that's there, so that's why I like to say this is Jesus saying, look, I'm going to give it to you one more time. I'm going to give it to you one more time. That's the way I like to look at the book of Revelation as I read it, because there's nothing new per se. And he's telling us about the things that's going to happen. Daniel spoke of them, Isaiah, Ezekiel, you know, Amos, all of them talked about these things that God, you know, through, you know, that God gave prophecy to his people, to give to his people. So we're going to go into the scriptures right now, and I'm going to read Revelation 1:1-3. And it says, and if you got your Bible, please open your Bible. And it read, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. What this saying? God, first of all, is telling you it's the revelation of Jesus Christ. And if you got your Bible and if you go to the book of Revelation and you look at the top of the writing where it says revelation, it says the revelation of Jesus Christ to John. Hallelujah. That's right there in the book, so that should give you some insight. They said, who bear record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all the things that he saw. This is John. Blessed, and now watch this. this scripture have a blessing. And if God said it, you could believe it. They say, blessed is he that read it, and they that hear the word of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein. For the time is at hand. You see, this verse shows the purpose of the book. In it, God tells about the things that must happen soon. God gave the message to Jesus Christ. Jesus spoke to John by means of an angel. And the first chapter of Revelation is revealing of the mysteries of Jesus Christ. You see, God the Father gave the message to Jesus the Son. Jesus gave it to the personal angel. And the angel signified, how did he do it? With symbols and figures. That's why the Bible has so many, you know, symbols and everything in it. To the angel who gave the message to John. And John write the message to the believers in the Lord Savior Jesus Christ. This message is given to John to encourage the Christians. God never leaves his people in the dark. And like I tell you, it's nothing new. If you go to Amos 3:7, it says, for the Lord God does nothing without revealing his secrets to his servants, the prophets. Why you think God had so many prophets in the Old Testament? Because he wanted the people to know what he was doing, what he was going to do, or what he promised to do. The same thing as the book of Revelation. There are 7 blessings in the book of Revelation. In the 3rd chapter, what I just read, explain the first blessing. Blessed is he that readeth and they that hear of this prophecy and keep those things which are written. He said, if you read this book and you take heed to what it's saying, you will be blessed. You know, that's the blessings that you have if you do that. Each of these blessings is yours to claim, but you have to know them to claim them. And then you must put in the work to receive them. So we're going to go to John, the 4th verse, and we're going to go all the way to the 6th verse. Now, what this reads is, John to the 7 churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the 7 spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Unto him that loved us and washed us from our sin in his blood, and had made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. And this scripture say amen. When we hear the word amen, when you go to church and somebody say something, and you say amen, you're saying that you agree with what they're saying. So you must be careful when you say amen, because you don't know what you're touching and agreeing with. And I guess you know what you know, you say amen. What you're not sure about, this, don't say it. You see, when we look at this, you know, it starts off, it just says John to the 7 churches, and usually a character introduces itself. But John does not need to introduce himself right here, because the churches in Asia knew him well. He writes with great authority. See, John was the leader in the churches in Asia, many of the churches, of the 7 churches. He was affiliated with them. You see, these verses lets us know who John was to give the message to, the 7 churches in Asia. Now, let me tell you this. This is something that confused a lot of people. There were 7 real churches in Asia. and God in his ultimate wisdom decide to write and within the book of Revelation to these seven churches. Okay, so there's not no mystery, there's not no figure of speech. There were seven churches in Asia, and God decided to send a message to them, and he gave the message to Jesus. This is what the scripture is saying, and Jesus gave the message to his personal angel, and the angel gave the message to John. That's where we at right now. God, you see, he then lets us know where the message is coming from. He said, God, he went on to explain for you to know authentically that this is from God. And you go through the book of Revelation, you know that what God is saying is God, and what Jesus is saying is Jesus, and what the Holy Ghost is doing is the Holy Ghost. He took this time in this first chapter of Revelation and let you know who the character were. He wanted you to, the characters are. He wanted you to know what he's talking about so you could go through the other chapters of Revelation with some idea and clarity. He said he had got it from God the Father, the Holy Ghost, and Jesus. He's letting us know that all three of them is playing part. How you say that, Sister Diane? Him which is a paraphrase for the name Yahweh and Jehovah, which mean I am. When you hear the phrase him which was, it's talking about Yahweh. So that lets us know that's God, okay? And then the seven spirits, seven is symbolic for spiritual completion, and spirit is capitalized, which means the Holy Ghost was there as well. When you read in your Bibles, plenty of times they say in the spirit, and they say the spirit came or the spirit left or the spirit did whatever. When you see it capitalized, most of the time it's capitalized because it's letting you know it's talking about the Holy Spirit. And he said Jesus was the witness, is faithful, because he is of truth and the greatest witness of the Father. Jesus came to testify about the Father when he walked the earth. He was letting you know what God was working with, what God did, is doing, and what God promised to do. That was Jesus' message. He said, I came from the Father. I am nothing without the Father, and you can't get to the Father without going through the Son. He was saying, me and my Father are one. You see, Jesus was the very first person to ever be resurrected, because in that scripture in the fifth chapter that I read, they say the first begotten Son of the dead. So Jesus is the only one that resurrected. Yeah, they had some people. Enoch went to heaven because him and God was talking, but he never died. You know, and Elijah was taken up, and he went to heaven in a chariot to be seen no more. But he didn't die. You know, and then we got Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead. But Lazarus, after some time, turned around and died. So you see, when they say the first begotten of the dead, it can only be Jesus, because Jesus was the very first person to be ever resurrected. You see, Jesus rose to die no more and took away the sins of the world with his blood, and lets us know that he will rise up us as he did. See, all of the dead in Christ going to be resurrected. When Jesus' resurrection, you know, we see that Jesus' resurrection, and we know that was the power, and we know it was significant, but it was also showing us that we shall be resurrected as well. We may be made, the scriptures say we will be kings and priests, and they say kings with an S and priests with an S, and they didn't use it singular because Jesus is the only high priest. You know, in the Old Testament, the people had to go to the priest. And they couldn't go no further than in the temple. They had three sections. They could just go to the first section because it got holy and holy as you went. And the high priest was the only one that could go in the holiest of holiest. But you see, when Jesus died, you know, we were separated from God because of Adam and Eve. But when Jesus died, he took away the sins of the world, and that gave us the opportunity to go to God for ourselves. That's why the scripture calls us priests. because we do what the priest, what only the priest could do with Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. We are able to go to God for ourselves. Hallelujah. Jesus bridged the gap that allowed us to be priests. So when they call you a priest, not the high priest, but a priest and a king, that's what Jesus' death did for us. And that's what the scripture is kind of letting us know. You know, it just say we're going to be a priests and kings, not the high priest. You know, you got to study to get that. But that's what it's saying. And God, Jesus, will be the only ruling king, and he's going to rule in heaven and on earth. And the scriptures is letting us know that all glory and dominion forever should be his. And the scripture says, amen. And if we read the 7th verse, the 8th verse, they say, behold, he cometh with a cloud, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Come on, y'all. Look what they say. Even so, and look at the scripture say again, amen. You see all this amening going on? This lets me know that they are speaking the truth, and they want you to get it. And John put there, amen. And remember, it came from God, the Father, from Jesus through the angel, because John only wrote what he was told to write, and told to write, and God say, put amen right there. Hallelujah. Let's not overlook that. They say, behold, in the 7th, behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they that pierced him, and all kindred of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. And then 8 say, I am the Omega, the beginning and the end, say the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. You see, John is taking his time in the first chapter to get us through some things and let us know who is and what they're working with. So as we go on into Revelation, we could go with the confidence that God did give it to Jesus. Jesus gave it to the angel, and the angel gave it to John, and the Holy Spirit was in there working it out as well. See, so that's what we in right now when we look at this. Just like the introduction is telling you who the players are and what part they have to play. You see, this lets us know that when Jesus comes in the cloud, every eye shall see him. Those who pierced him could refer to the Roman soldiers who pierced him in his side while he hung on the cross. You know, it could be the Jews who wanted him dead, and even those other than the Jews who reject him will repent and moan and wail. When Jesus come back, you're either accepting him or you're not. But he's going to come back, and everybody going to see him in his glory. And if you accept him or not, and if you pierced him in the side, and if you didn't want to give him time, and you didn't believe he was the Savior, and you didn't, you're going to see him in all of his glory. And there's going to be repenting and moaning and wailing going on. That's what the scripture says. This scripture is also in Daniel. So I'm showing you it ain't nothing new. Daniel said that Jesus will come in a cloud. I'm giving you, you know, that like that. You see, John saw Jesus' death with his own eyes, and he never forgot the horror of it. You see, God is the Alpha, Omega, the beginning and the end, which is eternal. You see, without God, you cannot have nothing eternal. You can only have things that are temporal, the things of this world. Because, you see, if we just accept all of the things of the world, we never accept Christ, and we never accept God as Christ, God, as our creator, and Jesus as our Savior, and the Holy Spirit as our comforter and God. If we don't accept that, we will never receive anything eternal. We will never have nothing that can change our life, nothing that we can save, nothing that can save us from our sins, because it's nothing but the blood of Jesus. Don't get it twisted. Don't say, I believe that man is all right because that's a nice man. If niceness could get you into heaven, Jesus wouldn't have had to die. There's rules. The Bible is the rule book. God has given you instructions for you to be saved and what, you know, how you're not going to be saved. So, you know, without God and Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, you know, you can't receive anything eternal. So if you go to the 9th verse and go all the way to the 11th, they say, I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was on the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as a trumpet, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. What thou seest, write in the book and send it to the 7 churches, which are in Asia, Ephesus, Smyrna, and unto Pergama, and to Thyatira, and to Sardis, and to Philadelphia, and to Laodicea. That was the 7 churches. They were real churches. Okay? And God wanted them to get a message. And I really don't have time tonight, but I guess the next chapter is about the 7 churches, and I think I'll do something on that where I could really break it down. But I have to go through this to finish this tonight. John now lets us know a little bit about himself. He said he's our brother and companion in tribulation, saying, I'm no better than anyone. John is getting all that revelation and being with Jesus, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and he realized that it's not about him. He's not all of that in a bowl of chips, even though God selected him for this such amazing job. He's saying, I'm your companion in tribulation. I have trouble too. All the things you go through, I went through. But I trust God and I'm patient in my salvation with Jesus. You see, the Christians was facing severe persecution. And John was exiled because he refused to stop preaching the gospel. You know, it's amazing that John, you know, was placed on that island because he refused to stop preaching the gospel, and yet we won't be locked up or put on no island for sharing the word of God, and we don't have the courage to share it with others. He now tells us what he heard, a great voice as a trumpet. Then he told who was saying, I am Omega. I am an Alpha and Omega, and was instructed what to write in a book and send it to the 7 churches. You see, John himself got it from God, and God himself now speaks. He declared, this was God talking, I am the Alpha and Omega. And Alpha, Omega, you know, if you really break it down, you know, it's some Greek alphabets, and it's, you know, Alpha is the first alphabet and Omega is the last alphabet. So what God is really saying, I am between the first and the last of everything. God is Lord over all, from the start to the finish. He made all things. He controlled all things. He's the end of all things. And everything is in his hand. And he now writes to 7 actual churches. I'm telling y'all so y'all won't think this is a metaphor. Just for fact's sake, Asia is where Turkey is right now, to put you in a place. But I want you to know these 7 was not the only churches in Asia, but these are 7 that God chose. And in the Bible, the number 7 sometimes means the complete or perfect number. And God chose these 7 churches to display the condition and problems of the churches of all ages. That means then, now, and it also includes us because we are the church. So when you read the book of Revelation and they're talking about the church, it is talking about you and your condition. When we get into the seven churches, we're going to see some was doing good, some was doing bad, some had this problem. But that's just like the churches right now today, and that's just like the people of today. So when you read this and you see the seven churches or you see him talking to the church, don't you know that we are the church, so he's talking to you too. If I'm on 12 and I'm going to 15 and I turn to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw golden candlesticks. And in the middle, in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one was like the Son of Man, clothed with garments down to his feet, and girded about his neck with a golden girdle. His head and his feet was white like wool as snow, and his eyes were a flame of fire, and his feet was like fine brass as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. Some people will get real confused with that. John is saying, he gave me the letter, I heard the sound, I turned around. He's saying, this is what I saw when I turned around. John heard the loud voice, he turned to see who was speaking. The golden lamp holder means the seven churches. All right? The people use, you see, people, and then I'm going to break down why he said the golden lamp, because it's always symbols. So I'm going to talk about the symbols. People use lamp holders so that the light will shine in dark places. That is the purpose of the church. You know, we say all the time, let our light so shine and men may see our good works and glorify the Father. Don't hide your candlestick behind a bush, but put it up where people may see. So they say candlestick holders, that's how you want the church to shine. It is to show the light of God to the people. That light means the gospel of Christ. And then it says a man was moving among the candlesticks. So between this church, that church, that church, that church, because the candlesticks is the church. So he said a man was moving about between the churches, between the lamp holders, which is the church. But he said that he was like the Son of Man. This person was not a man, was a man, but it wasn't just a man. He was more than a man. He is the Son of God. The Son of Man is a name for Jesus. The Lord Jesus was and is moving in the church today. That's what he's explaining. They had the candlestick, which is the churches. A man was moving all around about to the churches, Jesus Christ. And that's what he's doing today in the church. That's what God was letting us know when he wrote this here chapter. So long ago. Hallelujah. The Lord was and is moving in a church. The clothes that the man wore was those of a high priest. So when he said that his clothes was all the way to the ground, you look at the Catholic priests and you see in the priests in the Bible, you see their robes is all the way to the ground. So that was symbolic, the way he was dressed as a priest, because the Bible teaches us that he will be our high priest. So that's why he was clothed, because he's the high priest. The Lord Jesus is the high priest. He has paid for all of our sins by his death. He has united us with God, and he is always with us to help us. John then described the Son of Man. Now watch this. When I saw this, read this, studied this, it was good for me. You see, this is not so much a picture as an impression. You know, when they talk about the hair made of wool and this and that, I'm not trying to take nothing of that away, because, you know, we black folks want to believe if his hair was wool, he's a black man in the color of his skin and things like that. But it wasn't so much thinking about the appearance. God wants us to know what I'm saying here tonight, but he wants us to know what it represents. You see, he said the hair was white like wool. It didn't say the hair was wool. He was talking about the color of the hair and what God did. And when they gave him impression so that he could see, the white hair shows maturity. The white hair shows wisdom. You see, the Jews put white hair with wisdom and knowledge and understanding, you know, like the elder, like we look at the elders. So that's where, you know, the white hair was being represented. You see, they respected old age and gave honor to the wise and looked at them as wise persons. This is saying because his hair was white, the Jews who would read this by respecting a white hair with those, for those reasons, would have to give him the respect and the honor and realize he had wisdom. You see, we can hide nothing. And then when they talked about the eyes, we can't hide nothing from the eyes of the Son of God. So John described the eyes in this special way. He said it is as if the flames of a fire. You know, when there's fire just there, and it just keep burning, and it sees everything. You see, the Son of Man sees all that happens in the churches and in our lives. He know all of history from the start to the end. He knows the thoughts and the actions of each person. God looks totally at your heart. The eyes of the Son of Man can look straight to the heart. You know, and then he talk about the feet. People polish brass so that it could shine in light. It's a very strong metal. The feet of brass show that the Son of Man is powerful. Hallelujah. See, he's given us these attributes, and he's given us these descriptions to let us know and to see, as he showed John, who he was really talking about. And he used this so beautifully to explain him. So that's what that scripture is saying. They say people polish brass so that it shines in the light. Come on now. And it is a very strong material, saying Jesus is very strong. And the feet of brass show that the Son of God is powerful. Now watch this. And the scripture always say the sound of water. You know, when we hear the sounds of water, it reminds us of immense power. Such is the effect of God's voice. God spoke to John, and this is the only way he could describe it. So take it for what it is. And 16:17-18, and he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. And in his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying, fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. Jesus was letting John know, you know, who it is, and it's real and it's true. And I have the keys of hell and death. Write the things which thou seest, and the things which are, and the things that's going to come hereafter. You see, the stars mean the angels of the churches in the scripture. Jesus holds all of them in his hand. He said he's coming with the stars in his hand. He's telling you he got you in his hand. You are the church, right? This scripture is saying he got you in his hand. And even the physical churches where the people gather, I got that in my hand. See, Christ holds all of them in his right hand, so he has total control over them and us. He looks after them and us, the physical church. He protects them and us. Because nobody can take them out of his hand. He is talking about you. The scriptures say if you accept Christ, the devil in hell cannot pluck you out of God's hand. When John saw all of this, he couldn't contain himself, and he fell down as dead, and God put his, Jesus put his hand on him and gave him new life. He said he has a sharp sword, and sword just means the word of God. If you put on the whole armor of God that the book of Ephesians teaches about, the spirit is the sword. The sword is the word of God. And in the end, the word of God will defeat all of the enemies. He will speak, and what he says, guess what, will happen. The word of God is sharper than two-edged swords. This ain't nothing new, because it's in Hebrew, the 4th chapter and 11th verse. You see, the face of the Son of Man shone with a bright light. That's what the scripture is saying. The strength of the light is like the sun. There's no greater power than the Lord Savior, Jesus Christ. And I'm going to conclude tonight, and it's so amazing that I'm just going to conclude, which is sort of like a recap to what has been said in the first 19 verses. The 20th verse said, the mystery of the seven stars which thou saw in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. Now watch this. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks which thou saw it are the seven churches. They come back and clarify for you to keep you not in a mystery. Revelation is not as much mystery as you may think. You see, the seven stars mean the angels of the seven churches, and there was seven angels, and there was an angel at each church. This may be a real angel, or the word may mean the person who carried the letter to the churches. And it probably, the word, you know, probably the word angel meant the characters of each church. So the Lord sent the letter to the churches by their angels. And the angels may also be you and me and pastors and ministers, anybody who's going to share the word of God. Because that word angel literally means messenger. And that's our program for tonight. And it is now 9:30. Thank you, Holy Ghost. I hope that you got a little more insight, some clarity. If anyone have a question, would like to ask for prayer or have anything they would like to say. I was thinking about going into Revelation, the second chapter, which is starts talking about the seven churches. It talks about the seven churches. If you guys, well, it don't appear that anybody want to ask any. Anybody would like to ask any questions or anything at this time? Because I'm going to have to ask a question, and then I want, you know, the people to answer, those who want to answer. But anybody would like to pray, or anyone would like to ask for prayer, anyone like to make comments, anyone have a question or concern, at this time, press the 1 button on your phone. Since no one pressed the 1 button on their phone, I just want to ask you as a group, wait, someone has pressed 504-12. Your mic is now open. Caller, your number is 25012. Caller, maybe they pressed it by mistake. 25012. Hello?
I was asking for prayer.
You want prayer? Who you want prayer for, baby?
prayer for myself.
Okay.
I've been suffering with my allergies and the new medicine, I don't know what it is, but I haven't been feeling as well as I would like to feel. And I'm pressing on. That's all I can say.
Well, we will show put you in the prayer tonight. And I thank you for, coming forward and asking for prayer. Because God said those who have not, because they ask not.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So, you will truly be blessed. And I'm asking everyone else to pray for you as well. Is this little Josie?
Yeah, this little Josie Marie.
Okay. Thank you, because we could call you by name.
Okay.
Thank you, darling. Now, the question I want to ask before I do the prayer, because I don't want to keep y'all long. Would y'all like for me to go into the second chapter of Revelation for next week? If so, you could press the 1 button on your phone. If not, I'll do another lesson. A lot of the SKUs was lit up. So we'll continue with the second chapter. All of the churches of age is not in the second chapter. I just want to say this, and I'm going to go ahead and cut off. I don't want to take up a lot of time. I want you to know that the book of Revelation is God letting his people know. Let me show you. He's saying, let me show you what I done did already. Let me show you what I'm doing for you right now. And I'm letting you know in the book what I plan to do. And these 7 churches that we're going to speak on next, going to start with, each one of those churches had a condition. It was either good, bad, or ugly. And God used these 7 churches to write a message to. Each church in the world today is going to fit in one of those categories. And each person in the world is going to fit in one of those categories. Because you're probably doing some of the things that they're doing. And that's what the letters to the 7 churches was mostly concerned with. So at this time, I'm going to go ahead and close. And I'm going to just, I need to do a prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, precious God, dear Lord God, I just want to say thank you. Thank you for the word that went forth tonight, dear God, and I pray that the word don't return void. I tell the people, dear God, all the time that I'm only giving information, but it's the Holy Ghost that give illumination and revelation. And God, you say whatever they need, they should ask. So, Lord, I'm asking that you open up the people's ears and their hearts and their minds that they can receive what you have to say to the churches. And we are the church, and that we receive it and we use it for correction and reproof. And, dear God, we use it for strength, and we hold on to it for encouragement, and we allow it to be our hope for eternity. We thank you for clearing up and showing us God, your son in all of his glory. Hallelujah. We thank you for all of this, dear God. And Heavenly Father, we'll be so careful to give you the praise, honor, and glory. Heavenly Father, I'm asking that you look down on little Josie Marie. She asked and she came to the throne of grace because she's having trouble with her sinus. Heavenly Father, we know you're a heart fixer and a mind regulator. And, Lord, we know you could stop anything and start anything you want. Heavenly Father, give her peace right now with what she's going through, and don't let her suffer. Heavenly Father, if your will, you can touch her just like you did John in this message. John dropped as if dead, and you put your hand on him. Heavenly Father, I'm asking that you lay your hand upon her, dear God, and remove anything that's going on with her because you died that we may be healed. Heavenly Father, please look down upon her and bless her in the blessings that she need of. Remove the sickness, dear God, and ease her pain. Heavenly Father, all these blessings and others, we ask in your darling Son Jesus' name for all of our sakes. Amen, and thank God. And that's our problem, our program for the night. I pray that each one of you receive something from the Word of God and that the Holy Ghost give you illumination and revelation and that the Word of God does not return void. So all I can say at this time is good night. God be with you till we meet again. And God loves you. Remember that. Good night. Be blessed.